Well, you want to open up your Bibles. We take a little bit of a break from our Sermon on the Mount series to celebrate and honor our moms and really give a message from God's Word about wisdom that comes from godly mothers. So if you will, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Our scripture text is 14 and 15. But let me bathe this in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your message, and we thank you for the truth that comes from your word about the blessings of our mothers, about your call to them, about the standard that you have for them. And so, Father, I ask that you would reveal that truth, that standard, that you would reveal that to us, not only those that are mothers, but fathers, those who will be mothers, those who will hold mothers accountable and love them. Father, may your word ring true through all the lives that you have planned to draw near. So we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a wonderful day that in some way everyone here chooses to honor that special one person. But in some cases, because of the way we've been raised, there are a number of special women that have shown us that motherly love. We call them mom. We're going to call them today. We not only send them cards as well as our mothers, but they have played a very important part in our lives. We all have a mother, but not always have our moms raised us in the ways of the Lord. Sure, moms have raised us, and they have loved us, and they have kept us alive. I remember when our first was born, you're always scared and worried, and you take Taylor to church, And here comes a mom of five children, and she wants to hold it. And I'm going, well, be careful and hold it. And she's looking at me like, you're an idiot. But you're so careful. But, our moms have raised us. They have kept us alive. But what I want to share with you today is the biblical example of motherhood, the importance of following God's word. This is not so much a lesson about what should have happened in your life, being raised by your mother. This is a call to obedience. This is a lesson in truth. And any woman that can hear this truth at any time and turn at that very moment, any woman can repent and turn in obedience, or even can come alongside someone that they are holding accountable and help them in the kingdom work of motherhood that will give glory to God. So on your outline there, number one, the call of a mother is to glorify God. The call of a mother is to glorify God. God created the role of a mother. He designed it and he blessed it. There is a biblical calling on a woman that chooses to be a mother. It is a call that weaves through the family, weaves through her commitment to her husband, her commitment to her children, their training, her commitment to her home, and then also, and most importantly, her commitment to Christ and to the glory of God. A biblically obedient mother has the opportunity to build a home which becomes alive. Not only a family, but becomes a place of peace, becomes a place of joy in the community, and it becomes a witness to God's righteousness. I want you to hear this as an encouragement, because you will not get the biblical encouragement from the world. The world just doesn't understand the things of God's word. It doesn't understand the call to a mom from God's perspective and kingdom work. So I would like to read to you 2 Timothy chapter 3, but I want to start, I want to give you the full context of this. So I actually want to start in verse 10, and I'm going to read all the way to verse 17. So 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10 through 17, it says this, Paul, it says this, "But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith." And he is speaking to Timothy, a young pastor. And he says, "You've followed my manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecution, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution, but evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. 14. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, for righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." So you saw as we weaved our scripture text there right in the middle, 14 and 15, and number 2 on your outline, the question is really, who taught Timothy the truth of the Holy Scriptures? Well, you find the answer in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, there on your outline. It says, "When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also." So who taught Timothy the truth of the Holy Scriptures? His mother and his grandmother. That's where that foundation is. Paul is connecting Timothy's strong faith to that that was given to him by his mother and his grandmother. This is an example of the foundation that can come from a mother, from her belief as a believer, and from the support of her mother as a believer. That's the point that I want you to see. The responsibility of teaching and raising our children is even greater to those women that call themselves Christians. Amen? If you are a Christian mom, and if you are a Christian dad, this is your responsibility. Number 3 on your outline. Why do Timothy's mother and grandmother get all the credit for teaching him the Holy Scriptures? Well, you find that answer on your outline in Acts 16:1. And it says this, "Then he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was Greek." Timothy's father was not a believer. If you are a parent that believes, it is your responsibility. Okay? You can hope, you can wish, you can pray that everything will change in your relationship with your husband. You can hope all those things are going to change, but you as a believer have a responsibility. And you must see to it, regardless of the belief of your spouse, if that's what you claim. But remember, the example that we see here is in verse 16 and 17 that we read. The importance of the teaching is this: all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. This is what Timothy's mother and grandmother believed. This is what they set in his heart. This is what they set in his mind. This is what they set him on, regardless of the fact that his father was an unbeliever. This is a call to obedience. These are women, but these are parents that have a faith. And they understand that obedience to that faith is of the utmost importance. The obedience to God's word. This is not a hypocritical parent that says to obey God's word that they're supposed to be teaching and then in actuality does something totally different. This is a parent who loves the word of God. Kids are smarter than that, I want you to know. You know, we want to bring our kids to church, but if we as parents, if we are not acting in a godly manner, they're smarter than that. They're going to go, what? Why? What for? They might not be bold enough to tell you to your face. You don't. But I'll tell you, the hardest thing is when a parent brings a youth to me because they're having a struggle with raising them. And the first thing I ask the parent is, well, let's talk about your faith. And they're like, well, no, this isn't about my faith. This is about them. No, it starts with your faith. And it starts with your responsibility. That's where the focus is. That's where the foundation comes from. Your kids are smarter than that. Timothy had to make a choice. And you see that now. He had to make a choice because he had an influence in his home that was godly and one that was of the world. And you know, we go back to our Sermon on the Mount series. It's your choice. There are choices out there and they have to be made. But that influence of God's word in a home where there is a believer, it has to be set out there as an example. The person's going to have to make the choice. It's one thing to be a mother in this world and of this world. You love your children and you raise them in the world's standards. And you can almost say that raising your children involves luck, if that's the standard you choose. But when you claim to be a Christian, and fathers, this is just as much for you as well, when you claim to be a Christian, when you claim Christ as your Lord and Savior, there is no luck, only faith. Only obedience. Only a heart that desires to glorify God. Amen? Another point I want you to see is pertaining to character. Number four in your outline, the character of a godly and obedient mother will be a strong motivator for her children to hold fast to the truth that she has taught them. It's that long-lasting example. You know, I've heard men, grown men, 50, 60 years old, and maybe their mom has passed away, and they're like, oh, I would never do that. I never want to let my mom down. There's that motivation because of a godly mom, because of their obedience. 14, it says this again. But you must continue in the things which you have learned, and be assured of. Now here comes the key point that refers to his mother and grandmother. Knowing from whom you have learned them. So hold on to that faith. Hold on to the scriptures. Hold on to your salvation is the point. Now remember who taught it to you as well. Remember who nurtured you. Who poured it into you. Remember the love that went along with it. Remember the importance. Remember all of that leads to a way of salvation that leads to a relationship in Christ. We see this even today in non-churching families. It's a natural flow. It's God's tug at you. They have their first child, a young family. You have your first child and you've been living life great. I mean, free. Do whatever you want. Stay up as late as you want. Great, free life. You play hard. Play hard on the weekends. You go and you do. You sleep in on Sundays, and then all of a sudden, there's a child that starts to grow. And this child starts to grow, and your heart starts to tug at you, because now you have this desire to raise your children in the things of Christ. So, you start to look for a church. We need to get our children in church. We need to raise them in the Bible. But today's family is much different than the Jewish family of Jesus' time. Because the Jewish family of Jesus' time, the moms and dads knew the Scriptures. And they raised their children in the Scriptures. Today, moms and dads often don't know God's Word. So, they go and try to find a church, but instead of looking for a church that teaches the Word of God, they get caught up in the world's way, and they start to look for a church that has kids' activities that just add to your busy life. Number five, a godly mother's role. Dads, too, you're not left out of this. A godly mother's role includes teaching your children the truth of God's Word so they can have a foundation that will stand strong in this difficult world. Think of the importance of the role that you have. Think of the importance of the role that God has given you. It doesn't just affect your children, but it affects their children, it affects their children, it affects their friends and their friends. Your influence is far and wide. And it's that important. Now, I want you to turn to Proverbs 31. Because I want you to look at another mother that gives wisdom to her son. And this is a very popular proverb in God's Word. The proverb of the virtuous woman. But I want to break it down a little bit for you and show you again that wisdom that comes from a godly mother. So in verse 1, it says this, "The words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him." Now, these are words from a mother to her son, a king. We don't know much about King Lemuel, but he's a king. And you get a little bit of a clue that he was probably a young king, like Josiah, the boy king. His father probably has died, and when a king died, his son became the king no matter what the age was. And what you see here is this is probably a young king because he's still being influenced by his mother. He's still being taught by his mother. So verse 2 it says, "What, my son, and what, son of my womb, and what, son of my vows?" She is crying out. And really in the language what she's saying is, "What should I teach you? What wisdom should I share with you?" This is her son. She loves him. She gave birth to him. And moms, you know that connection. You know that special connection that you have with your child, that you carry them for 9 months. You know them intimately. This is her son that has come from a loving relationship with her husband. This is a son that has come from a marriage in which she has kept her vows, her promise to her husband and to her God. And out of this love comes warning and teaching. Verse 3, "Do not give your strength to women, nor your ways to that which destroys kings." Giving away your strength here refers to sexual purity, morality. There has been many a king and many a man that has been destroyed because of a lack of sexual purity. And so she warns her son, this king, about this. And then the warning continues in 5 through 7. "It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes intoxicating drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the justice of all the afflicted. Give strong drink to him who is perishing, and wine to those who are bitter of heart. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. Her warning is to him to keep clear, to keep his mind clear, because he has a great responsibility as a leader, as a young king. Now that should be taught to our children today as well, because they also have a great responsibility to glorify God. And women, also watch out for what leaves you vulnerable and not clear-minded, because you have that great responsibility of raising your children. Fathers, watch out for the things that make you weak. Watch out for the things that lead to your fall, because you also have a great responsibility as the spiritual leader in the home. And know this, it is your responsibility. Leave the strong drinks and the drugs is really what it says to those who are in great pain, to those who are at the end of their lives, to those who are suffering a great deal. Leave the strong drinks and the drugs to those that have no hope, and refuse to hold their responsibilities. Number 6 on your outline, the first part of Proverbs 31 is a godly mother teaching her son to guard his character. That's what we're seeing in this first part of Proverbs 31. She is teaching her son to guard his character. And in verse 8 it says, "Open your mouth for the speechless in the cause of all who are appointed to die." And what she's saying here is, speak up for those who are being bullied. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, the weak. Speak up for those who have no voice. Speak up for those who are less fortunate. It is a fact that kids are mean. We know that. You see that in schools. You see that when you play in the playground, in the neighborhood. And nowadays you even see it on the internet with Facebook and emails, texting, and yes, even youth groups. There is a heart of the world out there, and it is mean. And so here is this mom directing this young king, but remember, this is a lesson from a godly mother, a lesson for all of us. If you want to see the hair raise up on the back of my neck, then attack my children. But not just my children. The youth, the children here, you take ownership in them. You love them and you want to protect them. And it doesn't matter if it comes within your walls. Your neck hairs go up because you are all mama bears. Don't mess with the cubs. And we all know that. We've all seen it. We've all felt it. When your children are corrected by someone, remember that correction is probably necessary. Attack is different, but correction is necessary. They are watching out for the character of the young ones. This is what we are all to do. We're all to watch out for each other. Verse 8 again, open your mouth for the speechless in the cause of all who are appointed to die. Speak up for those that can't speak for themselves, for those that are being looked down upon. Speak up for those who are weak and face ruin. Show the love and compassion that only comes from Christ. That's this godly mother's message to this king. Have a heart of compassion. And that heart only comes from God. Amen? The king has great ability to rule in his own way. So that compassion must be nurtured. That compassion must be drawn out. And that heart of compassion only comes from a heart that wants to glorify God and not lift themselves up. To be a bully, to be a tough guy, to be an overly aggressive person is to reveal a lack of godly compassion and a hole in your character. 9. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. Show the love of God. Show the love of Christ. This is the lesson from this mother. This is a wise mother. Here is another thing that is interesting about this mother's wisdom. Her whole emphasis right here is to guide her son's character. Who he is when no one is looking. Her message is, be a man of great character. That's the lesson that comes from a godly mother. That your child should be of great character in a very dark world. 7. In Proverbs 31, God's word spends twice as much time on the importance of choosing the right wife. That's what you're going to see here in Proverbs 31. God's word spends twice as much time on the importance of choosing the right wife. Here is this godly mother who is just given these points of character. And now, twice as much time is going to be given to the importance of choosing the right wife. She has spent time on morals. She has spent time on actions. She has spent time on her son's heart. And now she's going to spend time on choosing a wife. Her message is, find the right wife. If you can, look far and wide and find the right wife. The picture here is that behind every good man of character is a wife of good character. 8 on your outline. A man of great character's wife must also be seen in the same light or his character will suffer. And women, God's word says that it's going to be difficult. It's going to be difficult. So it's going to be difficult for your sons to find a great wife of character, and then your daughters, it's going to be difficult to be a great wife of character. But the desire as a godly woman is to teach this. Teach God's standard. These are godly qualities that should be seen in every woman. Young, being raised up to that point when she gets an opportunity to be the wife of a godly man. Now these qualities were to be taught to Jewish boys and they were to be remembered. So how would you remember all of these qualities? I mean, in our Bible it's from verse 10 to verse 31. How would you remember all of this? Well, here's what they did. The Jewish boys would be taught all these qualities. And in the Hebrew language, if you looked at all these, the way they were written, each point started with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. It was like an acrostic. It was like an acronym. That's how important this was. I know some of you, my wife, can recite every president of the United States. She learned it when she was young. She learned it in a song. Okay? And so some of you do that same thing. Well, here are these Jewish parents, and they're teaching their sons the importance of choosing the right wife. And so they take these 22 points, and each point starts with a different letter of the alphabet. Alphabet. Verse 10, first one. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. Virtuous, on your outline, virtuous, good, worthy, honorable. Who can find that wife? Because of the fall of man and because of the spiritual battle in our lives, God points to the truth of his word that it is going to be difficult to find this woman that meets his standard. But the mother is saying that even though it may be difficult, you must know God's standard and you must find an excellent wife. 9 on your outline. It is also tough in this world to find a good man. Yeah, you guys thought you were off the hook. Proverbs 26 says this: most men will proclaim each his own goodness, but who can find a faithful man? You're not off the hook, men. It's hard to find a godly man as well. So the message to the men is, listen to the godly wisdom during your upbringing so that you will be found as a man of good character. And when's your upbringing? You're alive. How many of you have been told that your wives are still teaching you something? They are. And so is everybody else. Your mom, your dad, your friends, your children. We're still constantly learning. And then most of all, as you come to love God's word and understand God's word and understand that there's actually a point to it, you begin to learn. And then in faithful obedience, it begins to draw you and move you. So, we learn. So the message to the men is, listen to the godly wisdom of your upbringing. Wisdom that comes and makes you a man of good character. 10 again, who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. It is going to be more valuable to you, man, than precious stones for you to find a good wife. It is going to be more valuable to your character. It's going to be more valuable than your net worth. It's going to be more valuable for you to find a good wife. 11 and 12. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. This wife is trustworthy. In the days of the Old Testament, marriages were often arranged, and so you often could not trust your wife. You didn't know her. And if men traveled far off, well, they would lock everything up because they were afraid to come back and be ruined. But the message to this king is that you have a standard, so choose the right wife. Don't settle for beauty. See, this king has a choice. He doesn't have that arranged marriage. And that's just like us. We don't have that. So you have a choice. So don't settle for beauty. Look deep within. Look at her character. What is she like when no one is looking? 13. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. This is not an idle woman. She works with her hands to make clothes for her family. She works hard. 14. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. Today, women go to the grocery store to find the variety of foods. But in the Old Testament, there was no store. The food was in regions. This region grew this kind of food, and this region grew this kind of food. So here is a woman that is like merchant ships. In order to bring a variety of food to her family out of love, she would travel far and wide to bring the variety to please her family. Because it was good. 15. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. This is not a woman that sleeps in. This is not a woman that lets her family fend for themselves early in the morning. She is up before light because it is good for her family. Now, some of you might say that times are different now. Both of us might work. And we might have to care for ourselves in order for it to be fair. But remember that it is more product of the world today that it's like that. It's a product of fallen world and not God's perfect plan. There was a time when women were caring for the home, and that was the norm, and housing prices were lower than you could imagine. And then all of a sudden, the wife started to work, gained a little bit more money. They could have a few more things. They could afford a more expensive house. And because of the fall of man, because of our weakness, because of our desires for monetary things, then the desire was, well, if they have that house, I want that house. You have to go to work. And so what we have now is almost a society that a single income family is hard-pressed to afford a home. It's all from the fall of man. It is not God's perfect plan. 16 through 19. She considers a field and buys it. From her profits, she plants a vineyard. She grinds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good, and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hand holds the spindle. Now, the work she is doing is not to increase the monetary position of her family, nor is she working to get herself a few extra things and to have some extra spending money. She is working to increase the household benefit. Where does she get the money to buy a field, though? From the wool and flax in verse 13, that she spins into thread in verse 19, and that she sells in verse 24. This is all over and above what her husband's work is. But this all benefits the family. Her husband has provided for her, and it is enough. But she is not idle. And what she does helps the family, the character of the family as well. 20, she extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. Here this woman has a heart of compassion. And where does that come from? God and God alone. She has a heart of compassion. 21, she is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. Now, you had dark fabrics in order to absorb heat in those days. But she goes one step further and she provides her family with beautiful dark scarlet. So they wouldn't have to be dressed with just dark clothing. She still cares for them. Why? Because it is good. She loves her family. She makes tapestry for herself, verse 22. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Now, this woman works very hard, and you can see that. But she also looks good for her husband, and she looks good for her family. She does not just dress in hard, coarse fabrics that were easy of the day. She makes herself clothes out of soft, fine linen and purple to add to her natural beauty. When her husband comes home, she is not a mess, and she is not demanding him to do his share. He provides, and he provides enough. She works in the home to add to the family, and she greets her husband as a beautiful bride. 23. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. Her husband is a man of great character, and in fact, men of the town know what a wonderful wife he has. Because of how he's dressed. Because of how healthy he looks. Because of the varying diet that she provides. Because they know of the new land that has been purchased in his name. She is not a burden to him. She is an asset. She is a blessing. 24. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She shall open her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of goodness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. And in all of that, verse 28, her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Now, this does not mean that her children get up early in the morning and call her blessed. This means that as her children grow, as they rise up, they continually call her blessed because of the love that comes from a godly mother, because of that continual great character. And her husband can't help but say great things about her. 29. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. A woman that fears the Lord is following his word. And a woman that fears the Lord is raising her children with this truth. And a woman that fears the Lord is teaching her sons what to look for and is raising her daughters in this manner. It's a community. 31. Give her of the fruits of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. Proverbs number 10, Proverbs 31 is God's standard for godly women. This is a good woman. This is the standard. If you think that you have been doing things wrong by God's standard, then you have allowed God to show you that through his word, through the teaching of his word. Amen? God is a God of new beginnings. So you take this word, this truth in your life today, whether you're raising your children, whether you're looking in the mirror, and you take this truth and you say, am I a Christian or not? Do I believe God's word or not? Do you see the choices that God allows us to make? God gives us a standard. We're to make the choice. 11. In order to meet God's standard, women need to respond in obedience, and mothers need to teach the truth of God's word. Move in a new direction that is led by what you see and what you understand in God's word. And he will be glorified. Amen? Amen. Just from the moms, amen?
Amen?
Amen. God bless you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Father, there have been so many moms who are so faithful. And we do rise up and call them blessed. And then, Father, we thank you because there are so many moms who have never been taught this. And we thank you that you bring it to all of our attentions. and that you teach through your word the truth. So may we humbly accept the truth that reveals our sin. May we humbly turn to you and not away from you when your truth is laid in front of us. Father, thank you that you put this in our hearts, that we might share it with others, that we might use it ourselves, that we might understand that character that comes from godly mothers, the desire to continue in that faith and uphold that character. Whether we are sons, whether we are daughters, we have mothers. Our prayer is that they would know you and love you and live by your standard. And then, from generation to generation, we see more and more come to Christ, and you are glorified. And for that, we thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.